Praise the Lord. How many of you feeling like praising the Lord this morning? Amen. Really? Well, you're not making much noise. You're not making much noise. I guess that you're afraid that God has got tender ears or something. I don't know. I'll tell you something. I am thankful that I'm saved. Amen. I'm thankful enough to say it, and I'm thankful enough to thank Jesus for it. Amen? Anybody in here saved?
Yes.
There you go. That's more noise than you've made all morning. So maybe he's getting the idea that you're thankful for that. Amen. How many of you know because you're saved, you moved into a new covenant?
Yes.
And that new covenant provides for you eternal life.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Start there, eternal life.
Hallelujah.
But so much more. So much more. Hallelujah. Tonight, I want everybody that has an interest in this church to come, and we're going to have a time. I don't know how much, I'm going to consider it all to be ministry, but we're going to have a time of discussion. You're going to be able to say some things, ask some questions, get some answers, I hope. You understand we can only give as many answers as we have, but at least we need to be ready to give that answer.
Yes.
Amen? So please come tonight. What was that? What time? You said 6. So what time is it? 6:30. Okay. This was a test.
It's 6 o'clock.
All right. Where's the bulletin?
No, you said it right. We're just a little confused.
Okay. Now what time is it?
6 o'clock on Sunday night.
6 o'clock.
Intercessory prayer is at 5:15.
Okay. That might be a good thing to enter into. But seriously, it would be an important thing. I think it's an important time tonight, a family time, a time of clarification and understanding as much as possible. But more than that, you know me. I'm not much into looking back, only looking forward.
Yes.
And so a time when we can look, consider some things and then look forward. I pray that God softens all of our hearts and reveals to all of us what we need to hear. That's a preacher's way of saying I don't have the slightest idea what's going to happen, but it's going to be good. You like that one. Sorry the old country boy comes out every once in a while. Praise the Lord. I want you to make sure that you know who you are this morning.
Yes.
And that you have very, very much to give thanks for.
Yes,
and if we go home in a few minutes without another word being spoken, you need to know that you touched God in the place he needs to be touched.
Yes.
Do you know what that means? Did you know God needs a touch from you this morning?
Oh, yeah.
He needs it in the form of you being thankful for who he is and for what he's done for you.
Amen.
And if you can touch him there, he'll touch you where you need to be touched.
Right. Amen.
Amen. And it doesn't go by feelings. He doesn't wake up one morning and say, I feel like touching my people today. And so we don't wake up and say, I don't feel like praise, so you ain't getting none today.
That's right.
In fact, we should be the loudest when we're the heaviest.
Yes.
Right.
Amen.
Amen?
Yes.
Otherwise, the enemy gets the idea that he's getting to you.
That's right.
That's right.
Hallelujah. I'm bigger than the enemy. Did you know that?
Yes.
How about you? Are you thankful for that?
Yes.
That our Lord and Savior made you bigger than the enemy. And no enemy and no weapon that's ever been formed against you can ever
prosper.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Doesn't mean every once in a while that the shadow, the valley, doesn't look like this is death. But it's only in your perception. It's not the truth. The truth is, Jesus saves.
Yes.
I am redeemed from any curse.
That's right.
Amen?
Hallelujah.
Not just on the good days.
Right.
Not just when I don't have a cold. I've been encouraged by her. I know who you are. But you have encouraged me this morning because you are relentless in encouraging.
That's what God told me to do.
You've just been absolutely a pain. I mean relentless in encouraging this morning because your eyes are set higher than here.
Amen?
Now, my eyes are set higher than here.
Yes.
My eyes are set higher than any weapon or any attack, lack, want, or need.
Amen.
They're higher than that. Therefore, I have none of those things.
Amen.
How about you?
Yes.
Now, this morning, I'm not going to do this introduction. I'm not qualified to do that. I'm going to give this back to you and let you do that.
All right.
But I'm looking forward, as I prayed, by the Spirit, I'm putting a demand on you this morning. We need something from you. You better give it. Amen. Here you go, Bill.
With that said, will the ushers block the doors, please?
Oh.
I'm excited this morning. It's my great privilege, and I'm blessed to have with me three of my coworkers this morning. Young men that I met when I started where I'm at now, the Belmar Center and the Public Safety and Security Department. Luis Martinez is a young man who has a tremendous testimony. And these two young men that are with him, Andy and Domino, I know. I get excited about Domino. Domino, he needs a good church home, and he's looking for that. But more than that, he's searching for God. And he spends endless time in the Word. I mean, instead of getting discouraged or when things aren't going right, he just goes and hides and gets in the Word. And I'll tell you, it's a blessing to work around guys like that. Andy's a good guy. Mellow, I mean, Luis would tell you otherwise, but he's mellow as far as I'm concerned. I've seen him. But these guys all love the Lord. So with that said, it's my great privilege to introduce to you Luis Martinez this morning. I wish his wife, Jackie, and his daughter, Michaela, were here. He's got a beautiful family. But more than that, he's got a story about the power and the touch of God in a life that needed redemption because it was headed headlong, like all of us, to destruction. So will you welcome him this morning and pray for him that God will anoint him and use him and that he'll give exactly the right words? Amen.
Amen.
Luis.
Hallelujah.
Bless you, brother.
Thank you. It's a privilege and an honor to be here this morning. It really is. Before I start, I know we've done a lot of prayer, but I want to do a prayer, and if you join me. Lord, thank you for the privilege of being here this morning with your people, Lord, with the saints. Lord, I ask you this morning that you may speak from my mouth, Lord, and that no word or nothing from inside me comes out, Lord. Let it be all you. Let this be a blessing, Lord, for this church. I don't want to glorify sin. I don't want to glorify the life that I used to have, Lord. I want to glorify you this morning, God. I want your name to be honored, Lord, so everybody may know, Lord, what you've done and that you still continue up to this day, Lord, doing miracles on everybody. Lord, I ask you this morning that your power may come upon this church, Lord, upon my mouth, God, and that every word that comes out of my mouth may be your word, God, and that we may receive, Lord, what you have prepared for us this morning, because your word says that every day new miracles are done for us, Lord. Your mercy is new every day, Lord, and today we ask for the new mercy upon our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah.
And, Pastor Bill, I don't know if it's okay with you, but I know the kids left. I don't know if it'll be okay if they could come back. I really would appreciate it if they listen. Would that be okay? Yeah, that would be good. And the reason that I ask that is because my testimony really starts since the day I was born. And we think that gangs and drugs usually come to people when they're teenagers or when they're older. And the truth is nowadays, it's since the day they're born. And I'm going to go ahead and wait for them to come back. And I'm going to start just introducing myself. My name, like Pastor Bill said, my name is Luis Martinez. My dad's Mexican. My mom's from Central America. And I was born here in Denver, Colorado. And I have the great privilege, like Pastor said, that I'm saved. And I know Jesus. And I think that's one of the greatest gifts that any man or any woman on this planet may receive, that he saved and knows God.
Amen.
And hopefully if today somebody doesn't know God or is not saved, today you will receive the greatest gift that any man or any woman can receive, and that is salvation through Jesus Christ.
Yes.
All right, they're here. when I first started, I was a Sunday school teacher. So I'm going to focus a little on them too. When I was born here in Denver, Colorado, and somebody for some reason told my mom that when she had pains that she would take just a little bit of liquor so the pain can go away. And when I was at the hospital, I was ready to die because just coming to this world, I was already drunk on my mom's wound. And so I was talking to Bill about this, and I was telling him that God, from the beginning, has been trying to destroy my life. Because that's what he came to do. That's who he is. He is a father of lies. He wants to destroy. He wants to kill. He wants to lie. The devil's number one thing that he wants to do is destroy families. He wants your kids to be in drugs. He wants mom and dad to get divorced. He wants chaos and problems to be in the home. But today we come as a church saying, devil, you're a liar, because we're taking the families back. We're taking the kids back. And we're definitely taking the young people back to God. Because this country needs to know God. And you know what? Let me tell you something. I'm glad I'm here with an American church, because I got to say, on behalf of all the Latinos, thank you for taking the gospel to our countries. And let me tell you something. We have a big responsibility now as Latinos, because you took the gospel to our country. Now it's time that we return the favor and we bring God back to the United States. And I declare it today that we as Latinos, we are here in the United States not to rob or destroy anything. I declare that we're here to establish the kingdom of God and bring back the United States to the foundations which it came from, which is God. I declare it in the name of Jesus. So when I was being born, I was already drunk. I came in this world as a sinner, as is everybody. But my first days, my first hours, my first minutes in this country, in this world, I was drunk already. I almost died because I couldn't breathe, because I was so drunk that my body, at the, you know, tender age that I was at, my body didn't function correctly. But God had a plan. See, this is the thing about God, that what's impossible for men is possible for God. When men say it cannot be done, God says it will be done. That's why I want the kids to be here today, because I'm going to tell you right now, if you have a young person at your house that does not want to know anything about God, if you have a family that broke up, let me tell you, it's impossible for men. And men might say, this is never going to work. Your marriage is never going to get saved. Your kids are never going to become to Christ. The drugs are never going to leave. Let me tell you, that's a lie, because what's impossible for men is possible for God. And the reason why I could tell you this is because I'm a living, walking testimony of how powerful God is. When I was born, then my mom, because of the financial status that she was in, she couldn't afford me to keep me here. So she shipped me off, as I talk to her now, to Guatemala, which is Central America, which is where she's from. Living there, I never knew my dad. So I lived there with my grandma and a couple aunts. And let me tell you something, any parent here today, let me tell you something. I'm going to speak to your hearts today. It's important that you love your kids, that you care for them, that you hug them, that you spend time with them, because that's when my anger started. When I was in Central America, I didn't have my mom, I didn't have a dad, I had a grandma, I had aunts, I had uncles, but I never had a dad or a mom. Not having a mom or a dad, anybody and everybody did whatever they wanted with me. I remember one time I wanted to go to the circus so bad, but because one of my aunts decided that it wasn't the right thing for me to go, she put me in a corner and she made me study something that I don't remember. But during this time in Central America, my heart grew with anger, because I would see different families hugging their children. I would see moms like the one I see back there hugging their kids, and I would say, why don't I have that? I want to get hugged. I want to get kissed. I want once in a while to get a pat in the back and say, good job, Louise, you did something right. But that was never the case. All I got was the whip. Central America, they discipline kids. They call it a horse whip, and it's a huge whip. And that's what they discipline kids with, and that's all I got. So my heart started growing with anger because I wanted a dad, because I wanted a mom, because I wanted love. And you know what's the most powerful weapon that anybody has? It's love. When you love somebody, you win them over. And that's how Christ won me, because he loved me.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't love him, even though I didn't know him, but by him loving me, that won my heart. I think that's why we're all here. Because we were all sinners. We all did a lot of things that we weren't supposed to, but his love continued. When I was about 10 years old, I came back to the United States with a lot of anger in my heart, with a lot of envy, with all the wrong things that a man has in its heart. Coming back here to the United States, my mom wasn't, her financial status was still bad. So I grew up in a very bad neighborhood. And I just want to say something. I know a lot of people may have a greater testimony or may have something different from what I lived. But I hope that this is a blessing for you this morning. Growing up in a bad neighborhood, I'm not going to say the name of the gangs because I'm not here to promote them. I'm here to promote God and what God has done in me. I started going to high school, and actually it was middle school. And through middle school, I started knowing about drugs. I started knowing about alcohol. And to me, drugs and alcohol was a way for me to escape the reality of this world. You got to listen to what I'm saying, because a lot of these kids are using drugs and alcohol to escape the reality and the pain that they have in their heart. A lot of people out there don't want to drink anymore. They don't want to do drugs anymore. But there's nobody out there to tell them that there's a different way. That's why it's important that you and I preach the gospel of Jesus. Because there are people out there, there are young people out there that need to know about Jesus, that are thirsty, that are hungry for the word of God, but nobody's there to teach. So I started hanging around with the wrong type of people. I started with one of the most powerful gangs, Latin gangs, from California that started here in Colorado. I started when they first started here. The reason why I joined the gang is because I said I have no reason to live. I mean, if I get killed, so what? I mean, what am I going to lose? I'm like 13 years old. I don't know who my dad is. My mom has two jobs. I don't know what a hug is. I don't know what a kiss is. I don't know what I love you means. So I said, who cares about the world? Who cares about people? I'm ready to die. And there's a lot of young people out there that devote themselves to gangs because they don't know love. And when I met these people, they accepted me for who I was. So I was devoted to this gang. I was devoted to die for them. During my years with them, I did a lot of wrong things. I ended up in the hospital many times from alcohol overdose. I ended up in the hospital of drug overdose. I'm talking about, you could name the drug and I probably did it. I drank so much. And I was only like 14 years old. Because there was nobody there. That's why, mom and dad, let me tell you something. It's important that you have a conversation with your kids. It's a lie if you say, I don't want to talk to them about drugs or alcohol because they're too young. Let me tell you something. They know more than what you know. Oh, yeah. Look at the kids. They're nodding at me right now. And mom's surprised. Like, what? What's going on? You need to talk to them. You need to be their friend. They need a friend. I wanted a friend. I wanted a mom. I wanted a dad. I wanted somebody to tell me you're wrong. I wanted somebody to send me to my room. I wanted somebody to ground me. I wanted discipline. I was craving discipline. And nobody gave it to me. So during these years, I ran with gangs. We did everything from stealing stereos, breaking into houses, stealing cars. You name it, we did it. If your car was ever stolen back in the early 90s, I apologize. It was probably Domino or I, one of the two. But back in the early 90s, I don't know if you remember when Denver was called the Summer of Violence. You remember that, those years? That's the years that I was involved in that stuff. And let me tell you something, it was horrible. We did everything. It was an organized crime. We did, you know, car stereos. We sold drugs. We did everything that you can imagine that we did. During this time, I was still angry. I used to go to parties. Man, I won. I used to go to these, you know, Hispanic parties. And my wife now, she was my girlfriend back then. We won trophies at the clubs for best dancing. I had friends, I had money, I had women. But in reality, when I went back home, I would go inside my room and I would cry. Because even though I had money, I had drugs, I had alcohol, I had women, I had friends, I didn't have the most important thing that my heart desired, that I did not know back then what it was, that I know what it is now, is the love of God. See, let me tell you something. Nothing can fulfill the love of God. You could try it all, and for a moment it may seem that might feel that emptiness in your heart, but it's not. Alcohol can fill it for a little bit. Drugs can fill it for a little bit, but at the end, reality sinks in, and nothing can fulfill the love of God. Nothing can compare to the love of God. I thought a love from a woman was going to fill that emptiness in my heart. It didn't. So I remember when we used to go to parties, I was like the jokester out of the gang. I used to laugh. We used to play. We used to drink. We used to dance. But when I got back home, I was sad. There was something missing inside my heart. Something that I desired. I didn't know what it was. And it's God. Let me tell you something. If there's an emptiness inside your heart, if there's something that you're missing, let me tell you, you're not going to find it out there. You're going to find it in here. You're not going to find it with the person that's sitting next to you. If you're lonely, you don't need your husband. Man, if you're lonely, you don't need a woman. You need this right here, which is the Word of God. Because this can fulfill anything that your heart desires. The problem is that people don't know it. So I remember I used to go to my room and I used to cry and cry and say, what is it that I need? I used to go to my house and cry, but yet at the same time when my friends would see me, I would change my face and I would put a mask on and I was the happiest guy. But these people didn't know that deep inside my heart, I was the most miserable person that could ever exist in this world. I was lonely and I was angry at the world. But I didn't know that God had a plan for me. See, you don't know. You're going through stuff right now, but you don't know what God has planned for you. Yes, you may be shedding some tears right now. Yes, maybe you're going through some difficult times, but you don't know what God has for your life. He didn't bring you all the way here to set us back. I'm not here this morning wasting my time. You're not here just because you're here. God has a purpose and a plan for you this morning. I don't know if you're with me this morning. Are you? Let me tell you something. We're serving the biggest army that exists in this universe. And with him, there is no losing. With him, there is no, oh, we're going back. By being with him, we're already winners. By being here this morning, I've won the battle already. I just got to walk a couple more steps, but I've won. Because he died. He's paid the price. I've done nothing but received him on my heart. And that's all it takes to win this battle. Yes, I'm going to have problems. Yes, I'm going to cry. But let me tell you something. I'm going to heaven. I don't know if you're going to heaven. You want to ask your neighbors? Ask him. Say, are you going to heaven? Go ahead, ask him. Say, are you going to heaven? And if he says, I don't know, we'll grab him. We'll pray for him right now. And he's definitely going to go to heaven this morning. So what did they say? Are you going to heaven? Amen. So when I was at my house crying and not knowing what's happening, my wife now, which was my girlfriend back then, her mom started going to church. And I remember that every day that I would go over to pick up my girlfriend or go to the club or go to the movies, Her mom would bug me every day. Let's go to church. You need Jesus. Let's go to church. And I would think, this woman is crazy and she's driving me nuts. She kept pounding me every time she saw me. She never condemned me. Listen to what I'm telling you. She never told me, you're a sinner, you're going to go to hell. She never pointed her finger at me. All she ever told me was, Jesus loves you, let's go to church. That's all she said. So finally one day I got fed up and I said, you know what? The only way to quiet this woman down is for me to go to church. I told my wife, let's get ready, let's go to the church. I'm tired of hearing your mom. And I wasn't even married yet. So I ended up going to church. It was a very, I don't know what word to use. It was a very different experience. The church that I go now, it's a real radical church. They do, hopefully one day I have the privilege having you in our church. And they do a lot of singing and they do a lot of shouting and they do a lot of dancing. And, it's a Latino church. So, you know, they got the rhythm over there. And I remember when I walked through the doors, I said, this is not a church. I was looking for the saints because all my life I knew who God was. And I went and I remember I asked my wife, I was like, but where's the Virgin Mary at? I was like, wait a minute, where's baby Jesus at? And I was looking for this because a lot of people know God, but they just know it by name. They don't know, they haven't met him. And that's the problem, is that people don't, they've heard of God, they know who God is, but they've never met him or had a relationship with him. I know who God was. I've heard of God. I thought he was an old man with a long beard and, you know, rocking in a chair, but that's not my God at all. My God is not painted in a wall. My God's not hanging on my neck. If that's your God, let me tell you something. You got problems. My God is alive and he is well. And he is powerful. And he has power to change any problem or any situation that you have. And I remember I walked into the church and I started looking around and I saw people crying and I saw people speaking in tongues and I saw all this craziness to me back then. And I said, this is not church. I don't know. This is a nut house. And I remember my wife's mom, she would sit at the very front, and I remember she took me to the very front, and I remember some lady was crying next to me, and I was like, why is she crying? I was like, I asked my wife, I was like, who hit her? I was like, I don't want to be here. They're probably going to hit me too to cry. I don't want to cry. I have no reason to cry. And I sat there, and then the pastor came on. Oh, geez. Let me tell you something. Oh, man, I hated my pastor now. Because he went up there, he grabbed the microphone, and he started preaching. And every word that came out of his mouth pounded me on my heart. And I still remember the message that he gave this morning. I thought I was the only one sitting down. I thought nobody else was there. And I remember the words exactly what he said that day. He said, you think you're a man, you coward. You're killing people and you're stealing. But I'm telling you, you're a coward, because if you were a real man, you would receive Jesus today. And I was like, cool. I was like, wait a minute. Wait till this guy finishes up. Have a word with him. But God takes care of his anointing. Because I was so mad because the word was confronting my sin. And that's the problem. That's why a lot of people get mad when they go to church, because the word starts confronting your sin. And that feels uncomfortable to people, because people want to live with their sin. They want to hug it like it's their buddy. But when the word of God confronts your sin, it feels uncomfortable because God starts calling you out. That's why I felt uncomfortable that afternoon, because God was calling me. And I remember I got so mad. I left. I walked out. And as soon as I was out in the hallway, I was ready to get out of church. And I couldn't leave. So I came back and I sat in the back. And when I came back, the music was going on, and I just remember that my pastor saying this. He said, escape for your life right now. Run and come to Jesus. And I started crying. And I go, oh, no, I'm not going to be part of this craziness. So I got up again. I went to the bathroom. I looked myself in the mirror, gave myself a couple of slaps, threw some water on myself, and I said, you better calm down. You're not going to be one of these crazy people that's going to be crying and kneeling down and lifting their hands. I go, no, 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 you need to calm down. Came back from the bathroom, and the music was still going on. And I just remember I was sitting in the back, and my pastor was here like I'm preaching now. And he pointed his finger straight at me, and he said, you need Jesus. You need to come now. And let me tell you something. I don't know how in the world I ever got to the front of the altar, but by the time I knew it, I was kneeling down in front of the altar, and my pastor was praying for me. During this time, let me go back a little. During this time, my mom knew who I was because sometimes I didn't go home for about 4 or 5 days. I used to leave the house for 4 or 5 days, so my mom knew about who I was already. I got in so many fights. I know one day they broke my ribs with a baseball bat. I got jumped many times. So many things happened to me, and I know my mom was used to go picking me up at jail, go bailing me out, or she was used to going to the hospital and getting me there. And I remember that Sunday night, the pastor prayed for me, and I got home, and I got home around 8 p.m. on a Sunday night, and my mom looked at me like I was crazy, and she said, why are you here so early? You usually don't come home till Tuesday. And I said, Mom, I need to tell you something. And she told me, you're crazy. You probably want money. You probably want a car. You want something. I said, Mom, I need to tell you something. And she goes, what? And I go, I received Christ today at church. And you would think she would be happy or whatever. You know what happened that night? She started laughing at me. And she said, you received Christ? She goes, yeah, right. And it was a joke because she even called my sister. She's like, Sonia, that's my sister's name. And my sister came over. She's like, guess what your brother's saying? And my sister's like, what? He needs money. He has to go to court. And he goes, no, he accepted Jesus. And they started laughing, and they hugged each other. And it was a joke. They were like, yeah, they received. And then my mom called my aunt on the phone, and she's like, guess what Luis is saying? He received Christ. And I was a big joke, and I was like, Mom, my life has changed. Because there's a difference on talking and doing. And as the weeks continue, my mom saw that my lifestyle was changing. And then a week later, I talked to my mom and I said, Mom, what's going on? And she started crying. She said, let me tell you what really is going on. She said, I knew who God is. I know who He is. And that same night that you received Christ, I got in a fight with God. And I said, what do you mean? She goes, yes. I was praying in the living room, and I looked up at the heavens, and I said, God, you don't exist because I prayed so much for my son, and you never answer him. You are a liar. You are a deceiver. You do not exist. That's what my mom told God. So God said, oh, I'm a liar, am I? Grab me and transform my life, and then took him. Let me tell you, I'll say it again. What is impossible for men is possible for God. If you're praying for your son to come to the feet of Christ, let me tell you, and everybody can tell you, I was the black sheep out of the family, and God did it for me. And if God can transform this man, He can definitely transform your son. If your matrimony is in problems, God can turn that around. If sickness, if anything's happening, let me tell you, I've been talking to Pastor Ben, I've been telling him, there's no way that I'll ever return back because I know where God brought me out of. And nobody in this whole planet, this whole universe, can do what God has done for me. He is powerful. And I remember my mom said, I can't believe I told God that and God saved you. And she goes, I went right there in that living room. There was no church. There was no music. There was no pastor. It was just me and my mom. And she said, I want Christ right now. And I put my hands on my mom that same night and I started praying for her. And I said, Mom, repeat these words with me. My sister came out of the back and she said, what's going on? And I said, you need Christ to come over here. And I started praying for her. That's what a church is. A church is a family united on the blood of Jesus Christ. And that night in my house, my church started and my ministry started, because your ministry starts with your family. Yeah. Let me tell you something, Dad. Your ministry doesn't start in this church singing, dancing. Your ministry starts at home, ministering your kids, loving, caring for them, going to their soccer games, going to their singing recitals. That's where your ministry starts. Mom, your ministry doesn't start here. Your ministry starts talking to your daughter about what's going on at her at school. That's where, and I remember that day. I was so happy because my mom and my sisters, and we were in the living room and we were kneeling down and we were praying, and she was crying and she said, "I don't know what's happening." And I said, "I don't know what's happening either, but let's continue because it feels so good." Amen. Let me tell you something. If you have church in your house, when you come here, you come to bring the glory of God here. Because a lot of people come here to start the fire in their life. And reality is, you need to start the fire of God in your house to bring that fire here. So when people come here that don't know Christ, they can feel it. And that's where the devil wants to destroy the families. Because he knows that if he destroys the families, he destroys the church. So I have this. I want to read this verse to you. It's on Acts 3:19. And if somebody can read it for me, I would greatly appreciate it. 3:19. Let me know when you have it. Got it? Pastor Bill, you want to read it for us?
It says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord."
Here, first thing is what? Repent. This morning, I don't come to condemn anybody. I don't come to point fingers, but I do come to tell you, we need to repent. We need to repent. I need to repent if I've been a bad father. I need to repent for not preaching the word of God. I tell you this morning, repent. And the second thing is what? Repent and be converted. It's not enough repenting. It's not enough for you to be sorry, but you got to repent and then be converted. Be part of the greatest family there is in this world. Because if you repent and you convert, then God says that refreshing times may come from the presence of God. And I want that for my life. I need to repent from so many things, because if I repent and then I convert to the word of God, then refreshing times are going to come. And that's a promise of God, and God would never lie.
That's right.
So this morning, I'm here to let you know that God still does miracles.
Amen.
This morning, I'm here to let you know that even though you think that you cannot change, let me tell you that's a lie, because it could be done. This morning, I'm here to tell you, be grateful to God that you have a family. This morning, I'm here to tell you, mom and dad, spend time with your kids, because if you don't, somebody else will. This morning, I'm here to tell you, talk to them about the things that are going outside in the world, because the devil is just waiting to steal them from you. But no weapon should form against us shall prosper. Nothing. Do not be afraid. I'm not here to put fear in your hearts. God knows that that's not what I'm here to do. I'm here to tell you, cherish what you have. Love your family. Love one another. You can make a difference in this world. One of my favorite psalms is Psalms 27. Does anybody? Psalms 27:1. Does anybody know what Psalms 27 says? It was the first psalms that I memorized when I got converted to Christ. Because I was always afraid of the shadows. I was always afraid. I remember I used to walk the streets scared because they threatened my life with death, because they would make random calls at my house, and my mom would answer the phone and they would cuss her out and tell her they were going to kill her, and they were looking for me, and the word on the streets is that I was going to die. So when I walked the streets, I was scared. I would never go to the market with my mom because I was scared that one day they would shoot her and shoot me. So the first thing that I, when I got converted, is I learned this verse. Because the fear that I had of man, God showed me that I cannot be afraid of man. And what is Psalms 27 says? You have it? Psalms 27:1.
"The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
Damn.
When the wicked come against me to eat my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumble and fell.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. When you come to God, you have no enemies. When you come to God, it's God's problem. My problem is, or not my problem, but what I have to do is worship God, and He'll take care of my enemies. I won't even worry about what's going to happen or what's going to do, because God will take care of my enemies. All I got to do is worship. All I got to do is lift my hands and open my mouth. I don't know if you want to worship God with me this morning, because I am thankful that I'm alive. It's a miracle that I'm standing here today before you, opening my mouth and preaching the gospel of Jesus. Because if it wouldn't been for His mercy, I would have been in three places. I would have been dead. I would have been in a hospital, or I would have been in a crazy house. But God's mercy is so huge. God's mercy is so huge that I'm standing here before you today. Because He is wonderful. I don't know what my life would have been without God. And I don't know. I don't want to know. I don't know. What would have been of me if I would have never had the opportunity you have today? And I want to just tell you something. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, let me tell you, today is a perfect morning to know who He is. I'm not here to talk to you about religion or about what I think. I'm here to talk to you about salvation. Because religion does not save. Church does not save. Only Jesus saves. And that's what I'm preaching this morning, is salvation from God. Maybe you've been in alcohol. Maybe you were in gangs. Maybe you've done drugs, or I don't know what you've done. And to be honest with you, I really don't care. The only thing that I care about is that today, this morning, you give your life to Christ. Because the past dies and we start a new life today in Christ Jesus. We are born again believers. And I want to extend the greatest gift of them all, which is salvation. And I don't know if anybody in here this morning doesn't know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Maybe you knew Him just like I knew Him, as a picture, as a necklace, as a movie. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about knowing God, having a relationship with Him. I'm going to talk to the kids now. Kids, if you need to know Jesus, if you need a relationship with Him, if you've done things that you're not supposed to, if at school you've done things that you're not supposed to, let me tell you, today you could change your life around. I just want to pray with you this morning. Because Jesus Himself said, I'm not here to condemn the world. And I'm not here to do that either. I'm here to tell you, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the life. Jesus is the salvation. And Jesus is what I need. And I just ask you this morning that right there where you're at, that you close your eyes. I had so many things in mind to speak of that didn't come out of my mouth this morning, but God knows what needs to be spoken this morning. So I ask you, if you need Christ, don't worry about your neighbor. Don't worry about what's going on. Worry about yourself, because salvation is personal. This is a personal decision that you're going to make. Because one day we're going to be in front of God, and your neighbor and your mom or your daddy or your uncle's not going to be there with you when God asks if your name is written in the book of life. This is a personal relationship. This is a personal decision that you have to make this morning. Today, you must decide who you will serve. I just want you to repeat this prayer with me this morning. Say, dear God, I repent. Come on, please, church, repeat with me. Say, I repent. I ask you, Lord, that you write my name in the book of life, and that you may forgive all my sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I want you to continue with your eyes closed. If this is the first time you've said this prayer, this is very important. If this is the first time you said this prayer, I want you to raise your hand. We want to pray for you. Because the most important thing this morning is not the testimony, it's not the food, it's not the music. The most important thing this morning is that you walk out of this place knowing who God is. The most important thing this morning is you walking out of this place with your name written in the book of life, because God has so many promises in His Bible. God has so many things prepared for us. But one thing that He does not promise is to see the day of tomorrow. I don't know, my brother, if today is the last day I see you. I don't know if it could be next month, it could be next week. But I'll tell you something, I'm ready when it comes, because my name is in the book of life. And that's what I want to accomplish this morning. I want to make sure that when you walk out of this door, your name's in the book of life. So I ask you, if your name is not written, I want you to raise your hand. We're not going to judge you. We're not going to point at you. We're not going to laugh at you. We want to pray for you. We want to bless you. We want to give thanks to the Lord because you're here. You know what the Word of God says? It says that up in the heavens, when a sinner repents, there's a party in heaven. And the angels dance. I could see it right now. Heaven is getting ready for a party. Because somebody's going to repent this morning. I just want you to lift your hand. We want to pray for you. Maybe you've known God for so many years now. Maybe you've known God for so many years that you got used. You got comfortable. You got comfortable in your seat. You got comfortable where you're at. And you've been doing things that are not right. Let me tell you, this morning is a great opportunity that God wants to bring to your life to repent. Repenting is a style of life. It's something that we must do every day to cleanse ourselves. Raise your hand and we want to pray for you. We want to guide you with prayer. I know there's somebody here today that needs a miracle. I know there's somebody here today that needs God. And He's here to do a miracle with you. But you must do the first step and raise your hand and say, Lord, I need you. I can't handle this no more. I can't handle this stress. I can't handle this sadness. I can't handle this emptiness in my heart. Lord, I need you. Well, God is telling you, I am here today. But you must call my name. Because if you will call, I will respond, God says. Call my name. Raise your hand if you need God. Raise your hand if you need prayer. I'm the first one that's raising my hand because I need God. I need prayer. I need salvation. I need Him. Without Him, I'm nothing. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Just raise your hand right there. This could be the last moment we have together as a church. Lord, I bless every single person that's here tonight. This morning, Lord, I bless every single person that's here. I ask you, Lord, that you may have mercy on every single one of us, Lord. The kids that are here with us today, I bless them today, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I want all the kids to come forward, please. We're going to pray for our kids. If you want to stand right there, that's good. Church, I want you to stand up, please. I want you to turn around and look at the church. And I want you to raise your hand towards these kids. These are the pastors. These are the prophets. These are the teachers. Not of tomorrow, of today. I prophesy that these kids will start preaching your word, Lord. That would, Lord, I ask you that they start prophesying during the service, Lord. We wrap them with your love, God. We declare this morning in the name of Jesus that we're not going to let them go. That drugs are not going to steal them. That alcohol will not take them. That gangs will not capture them, Lord. But we declare this morning that these kids belong to the kingdom of heaven. And we declare them today, Lord, as mighty warriors of your kingdom. Lord, we declare that their tongues may be like swords to destroy the evil wickedness that this world brings. Lord, each one of these kids is going to rise up, Lord. Now listen to what I'm telling you, church. Because I got to say what God tells me to say. And God is saying that these kids are going to, they're going to start showing you how to praise God. Because if you're going to be quiet, then they will speak out. If you don't want to speak, they will speak. If you don't want to praise, they will praise. Because God is looking for the few that will worship Him in true spirit. Lord, we bless these kids. Lord, this morning you bring me here. And I take the anointing that you have given me. I take the authority as a minister that you've gave me, Lord. And I take the authority as an ambassador that you gave me, Lord. And I bless this church. I bless the pastors. I bless each and every single person of this church, Lord. And I ask you, Lord, that whatever it is, Lord, that needs to happen here. Because God's showing me that there's a big decision that's going to happen here. And excuse me, and I'm going to say this, and God is telling me, do not worry about the decision you're going to make. Because your thoughts are my thoughts. Because what will happen, will happen. Do not worry, because they are my children. Do not be concerned about it, because I will take care of it, God says. Do not be afraid to speak what I've showed you, because that will bring great blessing. Today starts a new day for New Life Church. Today is a new day. Today, I declare, Lord, that New Life Church calls out the young people. And I ask you, Lord, that you may raise a youth pastor, a youth leader. They may preach in the streets, Lord. I ask you that you prepare, that you equip these kids, Lord, so they may spread the word, the gospel in their schools. I declare, Lord, that next Sunday, we're not going to have 5 kids. There's going to be 10 kids. Lord, I declare that next Sunday, we're not going to have 1 young person. We're going to have 2. Because you will take this anointing that's here this morning. And because you are here, that anointing is going to multiply in you. Because that's the way God works. God multiplies. He is life. Can you step over here? Is he new, Ben? I want to pray for you. You don't know what God has prepared for you. You've done a lot of bad things, and so have I. Don't worry about it. Because God, He's merciful. Don't worry where you come from or where you're at now, but let's focus on where we're going now. And I know this morning God brought you here for the purpose. And that purpose is He wants to do something in your life. Let me correct myself. He's doing something in your life now. Do you want Christ in your heart? Do you want to receive Jesus? Amen. Can you lift your hands? We're just going to pray for you. What's your name?
Herman.
Herman. Lord, what a glorious day this morning is. Because one soul comes to your kingdom. Lord, I bless Herman's life this morning. I don't know where he comes from, Lord. I don't know his past. I don't know what he's lived, Lord. But what I do know is that your mercy is great and that you do great things in him, Lord. Herman, this morning is a new morning for you. Your life will never be the same. Because God has called you this morning. Lord, I ask you that you may prepare Herman as a youth leader, Lord. Lord, I pray for him. I ask you, Lord, that you bless him, that you bless his heart, that you bless his life, bless his family. Lord, thank you for this great opportunity that we have this morning. We bless this man, Lord, and we ask you, Lord, that you may guide him, then that he may never return back from where he came from. We bless his heart, Lord. Herman, do you want to repeat with me and just say, Lord, I'm here this morning, and I give you my heart and everything that I am. Forgive me and wash me with your blood. Write my name in the book of life. And I never, ever want to return to my past life. Today, I am a new man in you, Jesus. Today, I'm called your son. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Why don't you give a clap to Jesus? If this is not a reason to celebrate, I don't know what would be. I don't know if you're here with me this morning. If this is not a reason to celebrate, I don't know what is. Brothers, I bless you. Thank you for having me here this morning. It's a great privilege and an honor to be here with you today. And I hope it's not the first or the last time. And I hope that when you do have time, that you come visit us and that you may share some time with us. And afterwards, have some good food over there. And thank you, Pastor Bill. Thank you for inviting me. It's a great privilege to be here. And I just ask you, love God and be faithful to him. Because without him, we're nothing. Amen? Amen.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Y'all can be seated. Y'all can be seated. I appreciate the fact that you have spoken what God has laid on your heart. And I'm thankful for the fact that if you meant what you said, that the change in your life, the refreshing, will be so obvious that you will have as strong a testimony as this man.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can't receive a more valuable gift than Jesus Christ. There's no bling like Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to, for the church, and if you want your friends to help, that's fine. But I do believe you're right. This is a new day for new life. I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt what I have been praying for, that this body would grow. But what I want you to pray for us this morning, I don't think that there's a person in here that I'm familiar with that needs to be saved. Now, you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
They know Jesus. They didn't just hear about him. They know him. But there's a weight that's been tied to this church for quite some time. And I feel like that's being lifted. And so you need to pray for this body individually that time of refreshing would come.
Amen.
Because they've been faithful. Because they don't intend to give up on God. No matter how. And it's kind of like the old gang fight. I don't care how much it hurts. I'm going to keep fighting, right? Because there's only one other choice, and that's die.
Mm-hmm.
And we need a time of refreshing. And I'm asking for the body that you and your friends pray. Right now I want you to pray.
Amen.
For that time of refreshing that comes, that heals wounds,
yes.
That encourages, that lifts, and that once again creates that joy that God needs. He needs the smell of joy.
Yes.
He needs the voice of joy. He needs to hear that from people that have been Christians for a long time. They need that refreshing. They need that encouragement to go once again and say, you know what? You need what I've got. Rather than wondering every day, do I want to give people what I have? Do you understand?
Amen. Amen.
If the church please stands up, and I believe that everything that happens is for a reason. And I'm going to tell the church I know Pastor Bill, but I've never met the pastor. This is the first time I've met him. But when I was preaching, God put a word in my heart and told me to say this is a new beginning for New Life Church. Doesn't mean that the church is bad. It doesn't mean that things were being handled wrong. But it means it's time to go to a new level.
Yes. Yes.
Because a lot of people here, Pastor, have been asking to see miracles. A lot of people here have that want and that need to lay hands on people and pray for them. A lot of people here have been praying that when you put hands on people, legs are going to grow and people are going to get out of wheelchairs. And let me tell you something, God is hearing it. And I believe with all my heart that it starts today by me being here. Not because of who I am, but because who God is and because God hears.
Yes.
So this morning, I'm going to ask you, of all the churches, just come here. Come to the front. And I'm going to ask you if you could please. Thank you. Thank you. You don't know what a great privilege this is, Pastor. You don't know what a great privilege this is. Because today, I'm with servants of God. Today, I'm with ministers. And I just hear God telling me, you are more than what you think in the kingdom of heaven. You're more than a pastor in the kingdom of heaven. It's more than this, God says. You're not only, I don't only call you my pastor, God says. But I call you my son. Because it's time that you hear the calling that I'm making to you. It starts here in Denver. But you must open other churches. Because there is something in you that God has put in you that must be shared. And the devil wants to do this. Because he knows that when your mouth opens, it's over. Because there is a revelation that comes from God to your heart and your mind. That when your mouth opens, people receive it in such a way that it transforms their life. I never met you, Pastor, but I tell you today that I feel a connection with you. I don't know what God has prepared. But I do tell you something, it's huge, it's big. Let me tell you something, church, you're going to see this man soon in television. You're soon going to see this man doing a lot of things. You need to pray for this man because the devil wants to destroy him. Listen to what I'm telling you. And I'm not talking about just everyday battles. I'm talking about the devil wants to destroy this man. But no weapon's going to form against this man. Because first of all, God is here. And second of all, there's a church behind you, Pastor. And now you have another church behind you. My wife, she does prayer on Tuesday. There's about 75 people that pray on Tuesday. Young people. Under 25 years old. And every Tuesday, your name's going to be sent to heaven. And we're going to be praying for you. Because whatever it is that has been blocking where you need to go is going to get broken. Because when it breaks in you, then it flows in the church. That's why you need to pray for him. Because when it breaks on him, it flows on the church. Let's pray. Lord, let me just start by saying you're wonderful. Because
yes.
Who would ever known, Lord, what was going to happen this morning? I didn't. Now I understand why the devil wanted to stop this morning from happening. Now I understand why all the opposition. Now I understand why all the blockage came, Lord. Because this is something wonderful that's happening this morning. There's a new covenant, Lord, forming this morning. Lord, and I pray for the pastor, Lord, that you put before this church. I ask you that you may bless him, Lord, that you may cover him with your anointing. Lord, I ask you that the next level that needs to come to his life, that it may come now, Lord. I ask you that whatever needs to be broken, let it be broken now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, I speak now to the spirits that stand against this man. Move out of the way because Jesus is coming with his mighty light and he's here to slay people. All darkness, everything that stands against New Life Church, everything that stands against the pastor, Lord, today we break it off in the name of Jesus. And we proclaim, Lord, that this is a new day. This is a new beginning. This is a new anointing, Lord, that comes over to him. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, that it starts today. These hands, Lord, have a new touch. Not the same touch, but they have a new touch. They have a new anointing. They have a new power, Lord. I don't know what it is, Lord, but I bless this man, Lord. I bless his family. I bless his home. I bless his children, his grandchildren, Lord. And the many generations to come will be blessed in your name. I bless the place where my feet stand, Lord, because your word says that these precious feet that preach the gospel, Lord. I bless this church, Lord. Bill, I'll ask you to grab pastor's hand. Church, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Lord, bless. All you know how to do, Lord, is give. And I ask you today that you give. Open the minds, Lord. Open our hearts. Open our spirits so that we may receive, Lord, what it is that we need to do. Lord, I ask you that you bring something new to Bill. Pastor Bill, I hear God's telling me is that you're going to start having dreams. And these aren't going to be ordinary dreams. These are going to be blueprint dreams. You've been praying, Bill, for how to do something different. God's going to start giving you blueprint dreams. But you have to speak it. Don't hide it. Speak it. Don't write it. Speak it. Because when you speak it, it will be done. Lord, thank you. We bless the pastors of this congregation, Lord. And we ask you that you may keep using them, that you may guide them, Lord, to what you have for them, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. See, the way things work is, you already have what you have. The only thing I'm here to do is to bring confirmation of what is going to happen already. I'm not here to tell you it's going to happen because it will happen. I'm here to give confirmation from God that it is going to happen. Because if it wouldn't been me, it would have been another minister of God coming here and telling you that it's going to happen. Because it's going to happen. We want to pray. If you guys want to help me, we're going to pray for the church. Now let me tell you something. Once we pray for you, your life is going to change. Now, I'm not talking about getting saved. I'm talking about your life is going to change. And wherever you're at, things are going to start happening because you're going to be the walking anointing of God. When you go to school, something's going to happen. And your teacher's going to say, wait a minute, what do you have? That when I shake your hand, I feel something. Something's going to happen in your school that when you go to school, your friends are going to say, I like hanging around you because when I'm around you, I feel different. I feel something in my heart. And that's the anointing of God. When you go to work, something's going to be different. And people are going to tell you, let me tell you, what is different about you? Did you get a haircut? Did you lose weight? Did you color your hair? What is different about you? And they're not going to understand that today, this morning, God has lifted you to a new level of anointing. The level that you've been asking for. The level that you've been praying for. The level that you have sown your tears into. God knows. God knows. And it starts today. You haven't sown all that for nothing, God says. Each and every single one of those tears have been counted. And you will soon see what your tears have done. And a lot of people have criticized you for it. And they said, you're crazy. Stop crying. That's not the way to change things. But I will honor you, God says, because I will show everybody that your tears are not worthless. Everybody will see how mighty and powerful I am. Let me pray for you, sister. God is beautiful. Because I don't know anybody here. I don't know. The only person I know here is Bill. But yet God knows you. So God's Holy Spirit talks to me to tell you something. Keep praying. Does not matter what people say. Does not matter what your family says. You keep praying. You keep crying as loud as you want. You bang on the wall if you want. You stomp your feet if you want. Because I'm going to tell you something. Every word that comes out of your mouth, God hears it. So the devil is trying to stop you from praying. By telling you you're crazy. By telling you that you're doing things not correctly. Let me tell you it's a lie. Because I'm here this morning to tell you God hears your prayers. Lord. I bless her, Lord. May her mouth be like a trumpet, Lord. That when she opens it, Lord, it may sound the heavens and the earth might tremble, Lord, by her voice. Lord, continue giving her the anointing. Continue giving her the strength, Lord, to pray every morning, afternoon, and night. God, this morning puts that weight over your shoulder for the church. You're going to have the urge to pray every moment for this church because I'm giving you that responsibility. You're going to pray for this church. You're going to pray for the worship team. You're going to pray for the pastors. You're going to pray for every single member of this church because your mouth is like a trumpet and it sounds and alerts the kingdom of heaven. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Sharamangere Kishtoroba. Receive it now in the name of Jesus. Receive it now in the name of Jesus. A new day falls upon you. A tongue like bronze. A tongue like bronze, the Lord says. A mighty tongue. A mighty tongue, the Lord says. Scream up to the heavens and let everybody know who you are and what you've done. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Pastor, we're going to pray for everybody. We're going to pray for everybody. Brother, do you want to come? Lord, we pray. We pray today, Lord. Lord, we just let loose your tongue, Lord, of prophecy today that if you have something to say, Lord, let me hear it and let me speak it. But let it not come from me. Let it come from you, Lord. Lord, I bless this man. I bless this ministry. All I hear God telling me is, don't be scared. Speak. Speak. Speak the word. Don't be scared. Don't be silent. And I will not forsake you, God says.
Amen. Yes.
Because when you speak, I will speak for you. All you need to do is open your mouth and the words will come out forth because I will speak, God says.
Yes,
in the name of Jesus, Lord, I bless this man. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Can I pray for you guys?
Praise the Lord. Are we through?
It's not over.
Yeah.
I think that's the description of eternity.
There you go.
Father, now we join together as a church and we return in Jesus' name the blessing,
yes,
the healing,
yes,
the finances, restoration,
yes,
according to the measure that this man has given out, we return,
yes,
100-fold, not out of our bank account, but the bank account of heaven.
Yes.
We do it with that authority. You said through this man that I was called son. A son has the ability to write on the Father's account.
Yes.
And I write that check now with this prayer and by faith that only the things of God will come out of his mouth.
Yes.
And that will be always to give you praise and honor and glory.
Yes.
But his bank account is full.
Yes.
His marriage is full.
Yes.
His cup runs over.
Yes.
Because of his willingness to obey you. We're not speaking this as a compliment. We're speaking it as a command based on the Word of God.
Yes.
Expecting fully that, Father, what you began, you will finish.
Yes.
And it won't be finished in silence.
Yes.
But it'll be spoken from the housetops.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for this day. In Jesus' name. Now, I want to look at you for a second. Time of refreshing has come. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. I have walked in the prophetic. Inside of your house, it's hard to walk in the prophetic. But outside of this house, I've walked in that. And the best thing you can do for somebody that's prophesying is to confirm that you're right in the things that you spoke over me. The visions that have been given in the past, those things that were just about out of breath, you restored the breath through a word from God. So confirmation, don't worry, the things that you spoke here this morning, I don't know every detail, but the details I know about are 100% correct. And that's what somebody that prophesies needs to hear, a confirmation. You know in your heart there's a confirmation, but when you go home, right?
Amen.
All right, I'm confirming to you that you were on God's track, you spoke
yes.
His word. And for that, we wanted, and we have, given you blessing.
Amen.
Amen. Now, we also speak that you will do that more abundantly.
Amen.
God, the kingdom of God needs to hear the voice of God through men.
Yes.
So that they're required to believe.
Amen.
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 They're required to believe. And we appreciate your time here. Thank you very much for your willingness, your submission. We can't pay you a lot of money, but we did more than that. I wrote you a check.
Amen. Amen.
As a son of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I came from a very wealthy family. And I can tell you when I wrote my father's check, it did not bounce.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
And so I'm telling you, I wrote my father's check this morning.
Amen.
And it won't bounce. Just make sure you stay with it. Don't give it to somebody else.
Amen.
Pass on another check from the father to somebody else.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All hearts clear?
Amen.
All hearts clear. Well, then let's be dismissed and let's go continue communion.